Post Film Review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. This is a bonus episode of the Pre-Post Film Review. We're going to be doing a spooky bonus episode. We're going to be talking about the new film Hereditary, the horror, thriller, slash psychological drama, slash 50 other things. As I said, this is a bonus episode. There's no trailer expectations for this one, and we'll sort of be jumping pretty much straight into spoilers. So if you haven't seen this film, don't listen to this one yet. And I think, you know, regardless of what we think of the movie, we'd both recommend to stay spoiler free for this one, because there's some pretty insane stuff in it. Sit back, relax. Get your ancient text out and read some incantations and light some candles and listen along as we talk about Hereditary. So I'm gonna throw to you, Matt. I guess you can briefly talk about expectations if you did have any, and then what your overall thoughts were for Hereditary.
In terms of expectations, mine were astronomical for this, John. And not sort of because I'd seen trailers or I really hadn't sort of heard anything about it. It just sort of popped up in some festivals and started getting good buzz. And I kind of heard, I don't know, just good word of mouth. And there seemed to be a very, like a wave of hype building behind this film in terms of how scary it was. I think it... very early on when festival reviews started coming in, you know, it was sort of 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and everyone just seemed to be gushing over it. And once sort of that happened, I deliberately stayed clear of trailers and reviews. So kind of actually didn't even really know what it was about at all. Like what kind of horror, whether it was supernatural or psychological or what. I knew nothing about it other than Toni Collette was in it. And the poster had a house on it. That's kind of it. I was in a cinema when the trailer played and averted my eyes awkwardly, which I'd sometimes have to do when I really am trying to avoid a trailer. But I was there with a friend of mine, and after the trailer finished playing, I turned to him and sort of asked him if he wanted to come and see that with me because I'd heard it was very good. And the look of absolute terror on his face, and he said, he flat out just said no and said it looked like the scariest film he'd ever seen, which made me even more excited to see it, John. Like, this might be a case of perhaps I should have watched the trailer or something, because I went into this with, like, expecting to be shitting myself the whole time, basically, in a really good way. You know, like, it's quite rare for a horror film to really, truly get under my skin. Went in mega high expectations. I would say the film... I don't think... it's a strange one. I don't think the film is as scary as the reputation that it has. And actually, that's the other thing I was going to say. The marketing really pushed that side of things hard. Not that the trailers that I've seen, but on posters, there was quotes about it being this generation's The Exorcist and all this, like, very hyperbolic... quotes from reviews or wherever they pull those from. And I don't think that's what this is. And it kind of took me a little while to sort of figure out what this film was, to be honest. So I think at the end of the day, I respect it for this. But for like 50% of the film, it's almost like a very upsetting drama about grief. Like there's very little horror-y stuff happening. The scene in particular, and this is like we warned at the beginning, spoilers, but the car scene, John, when like a handicapped little girl is having like a seizure or her throat is swelling up from an allergic reaction and she gets her fucking head knocked off.
Yeah.
When she sticks her head out of the car window. I had such a reaction to that. I almost like... was done with the movie. I found that so upsetting. And when it showed, and then you go back and you hear the mum go out when he's in the bed and her reaction, Like, it's not scary. It is just, like, gut-wrenchingly upsetting. And then it showed a, like, her head on the side of the road. Like, a little child's head covered in ants. And I was almost like, you know what, film? No. Like, I don't want to watch this. It was just too much. But having said that, that was before I kind of realized that it was this 50% drama that actually kind of wanted to drill into what it is to live with grief. And that once it started to marinate in that and I started to realize what it was doing, and also even the head itself, while it seemed tactless and sort of grotesque at the time, literally comes back into play as like a plot point. You know, like the demon thing that's being summoned is in the pictures holding three heads, and he has like collects the three heads of the mum and the grandma and the sister. So it's like there's a reason for it to be there, I guess. Anyway, I'm sort of getting off on weirdly specific tangents. I would say during the time of while I was watching it, I was a little underwhelmed, but coming out and sort of thinking about it, it's gotten richer and richer the more I've thought about it. Even though I think there's some stuff at the very end that logically doesn't make sense to me, which we can perhaps talk about, and some like specific things that I'm not quite sure. Maybe on a subsequent viewing it'll make more sense. It does feel like there's layers there that I perhaps missed. But overall, I really, really like this film. I really do. I think it's a really strong, solid horror film, but I think audiences are going to be really disappointed and weirded out by this film. Like, it is not, it's almost not a horror film for half of it, like I said. It's very tough to watch in parts. But we can get into some more specifics in a minute. I'm curious to hear what you think, John.
So I had similarly very high expectations. Saw all the buzz, all that stuff about that it's the next Exorcist. I had a similar experience at work where some colleagues watched the trailer and they were both like, "Ooh, I don't know if I can go and see that." Which just, I started to get scared of the movie before I'd seen it. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know if I can see this, because everyone's having this like insane reaction to the trailers and like not wanting to go. So I actually did watch the trailer before I went in to see like what is everyone talking about? Like, and funnily enough, I guess because my expectations were so high, I watched the trailer and I was like, "Oh, that looks really good. It doesn't look as terrifying as I thought based on everyone's reactions." So it's funny that you say, you know, maybe that you should have watched the trailer, because I think that helped me actually. My expectations lowered a little bit because, you know, it suddenly just became a film.
Just a film.
Not like the next coming of horror or whatever, or the next coming of payment or whatever the demon is in the movie. So I went in with still very high expectations, but I think slightly more realistic ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still went on a similar journey to you though, where I was waiting for the movie to kind of like click with me and you know, sit in an area where I could like comfortably know what it was about and what was going on. And yeah, it really doesn't until the second half. Sort of start to come together, and you sort of see all the pieces and what the director's trying to do. I enjoyed that experience as well, because the first half in particular really keeps you on the edge of your seat, because it keeps changing what the film's about and what's going on. And particularly with the death of the little girl, you're just like, you know, it's like when the lead actress in Psycho dies, you know. It's like, well, what the fuck are we going to do now? I thought this was the focus.
It seems to be about her and her connection to the grandma, which, I mean, it kind of still is by the end, but in a very different way. Yeah, you're 100% right. It really pulls the rug out for you at that point.
Yeah, totally. And the good thing about the trailer is that it does not hint at that at all. Suggests that the whole movie is about this, like, you know, creepy little girl. And so then that happened, and I just had absolutely no idea where we were going. And I really like that. I think that's, you know, it's really interesting, you know, particularly in this day and age of horror that's, you know, can be pretty predictable. So I really like that. Overall, I thought it was very, very well made, particularly mm-hmm. for a first feature.
Yeah,
I liked, for I'd say like 90% of the long, slow shots in this movie, I thought were awesome. I love that sort
mm-hmm.
of stuff. I do think maybe sometimes there's a little too much of that. And I think that's often like a first filmmaker kind of thing, is like not knowing when to
just
take a couple
of, or something. Yeah,
take a couple of seconds off here and there, and I think it would be perfect. But it's very close to perfect in terms of how it's shot. I love that style
mm-hmm.
of filmmaking for sure. You know, it's like a little bit like The Shining or something like that, where it's all about building this tension and this atmosphere until you can't stand it anymore, and not cutting away from stuff. And then obviously within all of that is kind of the dollhouse, is, you know, all the shots where you can't tell sometimes if you're looking at a miniature or
mm.
the actual house, or even when you know that you are in the house, it's filmed almost like Wes Anderson style, like very parallel side on, almost like you're looking in through like, you know, a cutout of the house. I really like all that kind of stuff. It's weird, like I should be saying I love it, but I'm not saying that yet.
No, I feel like I'm in the same boat as you, but that's what I'm always thinking, a second viewing might bump it up for me.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be getting, the more I think about it, the richer it seems to be getting for me.
Yeah, I think, and the story lends itself to, I would imagine, repeat viewings where you probably notice a lot of like clues and things being set up that you didn't the first time.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, there's and actually we should say Toni Collette is so good in this.
So
she
good.
Just gives
yeah.
an amazing performance. There's a scene where she goes to like a grief, like counseling group, and gives all this history about her family. And when you
mm-hmm.
first watch the movie, it's just like, they suffer from, there's like a long history of mental illness, which is kind of the metaphor along with grief and stuff in this film. But I think knowing the actual history now of her family, there'd be lots of like juicy stuff to dig into that history of her family. You can sort of put things together in terms of the cult and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely worth seeing again. The only problem is it's never light.
No.
So it's going
it's
to be hard
watch.
To like
yeah.
muster up the courage to watch it again.
Yeah, definitely. No, you're absolutely right. I think that's a really good point about that grief counselling scene, or just the film's, the way it uses the kind of mental illness metaphor. I mean, like the film is called like Hereditary, and it's almost like that, according to Toni Collette anyway, there is a history of this like mental illness throughout her family. But I love that the film isn't one of those like, is she crazy, is it weird, like is there actually supernatural. It's just like it just goes 100% leans in, it's fucking supernatural.
Yeah.
Like
it
yeah. is never
yeah.
ambiguous. I mean, maybe for like a few scenes in the middle before it like fully tips over into Nutsville, but I like that it was never ambiguous, and that it was more the supernatural cult stuff is like is just like a metaphor in itself for the mental illness. It doesn't have to be pretending whether one or the other is real within
yeah,
the film.
True.
Like within the film, it's supernatural, but the film itself can be a metaphor for mental illness, if you know what I mean. Like in the hereditary nature of that within the family.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I really like that. And you're 100% right about the tone. Like I had that written down in my little notes. Just I loved the utter lack of jump scares. Like there's maybe two in the whole film, do you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
it's just like
honestly, if that yeah,
like sustained dread, like it never releases that tension with a jump scare or a laugh or anything. It's just constant. I really like
constantly
that.
Turning it up. Yeah, it's amazing. And very, very brave, I guess, in this day and age. Like,
yeah.
Even A Quiet Place, which we both really gushed over, had quite,
loads.
I mean,
yeah.
Nature of that story is that there's jump scares, but it also had ones that were completely unnecessary.
Yeah,
didn't
a few cheap
to be
ones.
In there.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got to really respect that because it's so much harder to make people
totally
scared and on edge without, you know, just shoving a big noise, you know, in their face.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the I mean, this is just totally an aside, but the opening shot of this movie is just so freaking cool. I loved the...
The model within a model
thing. Pulls
out
from the treehouse and then goes into the model just so slowly with this, like, creepy music over
the top. So good, right?
And then, like, they walk into it. You just know you're up for something a bit unusual and something that's
totally
pushing the boundaries straight away. And I think, too, you're right, a lot of general audience members will not be into this.
Yeah.
And that first shot would almost be... like the test straight away.
It's like a barometer.
Because it's like 30 seconds long or more, really slow, just like this droning noise over the top of it. And then like the characters physically are in the model for that, just for that one shot. I didn't overhear any criticism in the theater I was in, but I could sense that people were just not having a good time.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I think most of the people in there didn't enjoy it.
You're not kind of meant to enjoy it, but I know what you mean. Like they were board with like that's interesting. The cinema I went in was like I went sort of the middle of the day on a Friday, so there was only a handful of people in there, so it was very hard to gauge the vibe of the other people that were sitting in there. But I imagine, like I said, in a big like packed cinema, it would alienate like half the audience surely. One thing I totally agree with you about the miniatures. I loved everything. I just love miniatures, and there is something inherently creepy about them, kind of, right? I don't know. But I love it. I love it all. And I love that there was such a focus on the miniatures. The only thing is that opening shot was so weird and creepy. I wish they'd done or found some other way to make something creepy. Like, it didn't have to be super overt, but maybe just something I feel like they had such a gift there with all those miniatures, and that was never quite used to the extent that I would have hoped.
I would agree with that. You kept kind of waiting for something to happen with them because they're shown so much, but ultimately nothing really comes of it. It's a great visual, and I only from reading stuff from the director after did I realize that, you know, it's about outside forces, you know, the cult, manipulating them like they were toys in a dollhouse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, at least in terms of the horror, like I think it's a very interesting way of representing Toni Collette's kind of internal state. Like the way she represents her mother in those miniatures is like very disturbing, like standing in the doorway and weirdly like breastfeeding the kid or something. There was like this one like very strange one. And when she sort of makes the model of the daughter having just been decapitated is like a very odd expression of her grief. Yeah, like I really loved all that stuff. And it did sort of make, like, at least within the moment, made me question what the relationship was with the mother and how much of a reliable narrator Toni Collette was. Like, obviously, by the end, she was a fucking nut job and was clearly part of some cult. But at the time, like, I was starting to question, like, we never actually saw anything to do with the grandmother. We had the daughter, like, had very fond things to say about her. There was, like, quite normal-looking pictures of her. And then all you had was Toni Collette's, like, claims that she was this, like, monster and these horrific little miniatures. I thought that was... And even just, like, Toni Collette's whole speech, both at the counselling session and at the dinner table, where she sort of accuses... Or she talks at the dinner table about, like, how everyone blames her for everything, and she talks about being blamed at the... I like the fact that her, it was almost hypocritical. Like she is the one that is never willing to like take responsibility for anything, whether it's true or not. Like by the end, like I said, you realize that she was obviously in a very fucked up situation, but she is like, she literally will never take responsibility for anything. Anyway, I just thought all that stuff was really fascinating and interesting, and the way it sort of intertwines with the models and her past history and what happened with the daughter and the son. Like, it's really rich character stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, that stuff is so good. All the dramatic family stuff is amazing. And, you know, there's so much... there's even stuff in there, like, about having a family and not wanting one.
Yes.
You know, like there's a few moments, in particular one great scene where she tells the son, it turns out to be a dream, but that she didn't want to have him and she tried to get rid of him and all. It's just horrific.
But then
stuff.
Again, like,
and
he's
crying,
like, and
everything.
She's like, blames the mother for like making her forcing her to keep the son. I don't know. Yeah. It's just,
yeah.
It's such a great scene. Like, I love all that.
Yeah, it's really, really complex stuff. And again, like a repeat viewing, I think you'd be able to delve into a lot of that stuff. It was me and my wife was saying afterwards, like, how much does Toni Collette know? And so was her trying to not have a son was a part of that.
Interesting. I never
thought some level, knowing that it was going to be used for some messed up thing. Because we're never, like, Toni Collette seemed fairly believably oblivious. She just knew her mum was kind of terrible, but not exactly what it was until she found her, like, witch books. It's interesting to think, but she grew up with her and let her breastfeed her daughter. So, like, what did she know was going on there?
That's a very good question.
That
sort of leads me to the one big thing that I just didn't understand, which was Toni Collette's behavior right at the end of the film. Like, she tries to burn the book and then it burns the husband. And then we sort of, that's the last we see her. And then it follows the son as he wakes up. And at that point, is that like Toni Collette on the fucking roof, like behind him in the bedroom, which was an amazing shot, by the way. It's just like, you just can't tell if it's something up in that corner, and not in like a cheap horror movie way. It's just like, it's almost like I wasn't even sure if it was, trying to be scary, but that made it more scary in a weird way. But then she's like flying around, and then there's that horrific shot where she's like banging it on the roof, like banging her head against the, which is utterly terrifying. Like, it just goes like off the rails nuts, which I really loved. I really respected it for it, but I didn't understand what had happened to Toni, like why Toni Collette was now like ghost woman and then sawing her own head off in the attic.
I
think perhaps...
I don't know. I don't know what the burning has to do with that, but she clearly gets possessed by
something.
I don't know who. I don't know if it is it like the grandma or is it just is it the demon? I'm not sure.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure about that either, because the clicking seems to have something to do with it, right? Because the little girl was doing it and then he does it at the end as like the little sound with his mouth, like when he's walking out to the tree.
Yeah.
Not the I can't remember if Toni Collette
a little more understandable. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think it works more metaphorically in the sense that like her mum's died, her daughter's just died, and then she literally just burnt her husband alive accidentally. Like right after she like tells him like how important he is, and she's like the love of her life or whatever she says, and then fucking watches him she just completely mentally breaks down at that point, clearly, right? And that to me makes sense metaphorically, that she's then just nuts, like in terms of crazy ghost woman. But in terms of the like supernatural logic, I didn't quite understand what was happening at that point.
I'm not sure who it is that takes over her and why, like, did the book need to be burned for that to happen? Or did, I mean, it's hard to figure out. It does get very, very nuts at that point and very
I love it.
Creepy.
But another really creepy moment is naked man just standing in the doorway.
Yeah, smiling.
Just like lingers on it for so long, like just expecting him to like do something, but he just keeps grinning. It's a skin crawl.
It's really, really creepy. It's that thing, like the shot with Tony Collette on the roof. Like, you're right. It's not a horror movie. It's not like just in the shadows. It's like that thing where if you wake up in the middle of the night and like it's so dark, but your eyes almost make shapes in the darkness.
Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes you might wake up and it kind of looks like there's someone standing in the corner of your room. You know, that's not true. Like maybe there's a coat there or something like that. But it still sort of freaks you out. And I think it really taps into that sort of middle of the night, you know, slightly surreal. The proportions of your room change because it's so dark. I love that. I really, really like that. Even at that point when shit goes crazy, it never goes into anything cheap, I guess.
No, not at all.
Like,
I mean,
they don't run at her. They don't.
Well, I was going to say, there's only that one time when Tony Collette runs at the sun, and it's like probably the second jump scare. Like the candles one where it like burns up, and then the second one where she like screams and runs out of the door at him. I think that's probably the only two like in your face kind of scare. And it's not even that full on. Like, I mean, it's intense, but it's not some big loud bang or something.
No. And then he jumps out the window, dies, I guess. And
something like that, yeah. Then he's clicking away.
His sister, who is the demon they're trying to bring back.
Yes, that's what I gathered.
Comes into his body, and then a bunch of old naked people worship him.
You think of that final scene within the treehouse? That's one thing I've heard. Both people that I've talked to at work, colleagues, and I've read a couple of reviews after seeing the film, that seems to be polarizing people, whether they like that or hate that.
Yeah. Firstly, just before it, there's a silent shot of Toni Collette's headless body floating up into the treehouse.
Oh, yeah, there is too.
Is night. Just that, for some reason, that is a nightmare for me. Because it's not.
That's such a weird thing to be like. It's so freaked out by
because it's just quiet. There's no creepy music. It's just like, really freaky.
That's almost
freaked me out more than anything else. Yeah. But I love the craziness of that ending. And in the cinema I was in, there was like not a sound, like no one.
Oh, I love it.
Smirking or like everyone was just holding their breath because it was so strange. And I love that. Seems that that treehouse would not be big enough to have all that stuff in it. It almost gets to a surreal point. Yeah. Amongst all the other crazy stuff that's happening. I like that. I like the look of it.
Yeah.
It becomes, it kind of, some ambiguity goes away at that point. You know, it's like, okay, here's the cult. This is what they were trying to do. And that's kind of it. But overall I do like it, I think. Yeah.
I'm on the same page.
I love how nuts it is.
I really.
And to end on that too.
Exactly. I really admire that it just like goes for it. Like, you know, it's like, this is what the film was about. We're going to do it. You know, we're not going to, you know, be ambiguous or beat around the bush. Like, it just goes for it. I agree about the tree. I think that treehouse in general is just a bit creepy. Like, the way it sort of just is, it almost looks impossible, the way it sits on those, like, trunks. Like, it's just odd.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a strange treehouse to begin with. And I think you're probably right. There is something, like, impossible about the sizing, like the inside versus the outside of the treehouse. Yeah, I really liked it. I also like, I was thinking afterwards, and I don't know whether this is like intentional or they just sort of like stumbled on it, but I liked the gender politics of that last scene. Like, it's like they literally beheaded the three women so that the man like they talk about they freed the man from the body of the shitty body of the female so that he could like rule in the body of the man, and it's like the man is literal male is literally the personification of like Satan, you know what I mean? Like I feel like that's like a nice little
that's
bar
a very good point
towards like you know patriarchal society. I like it.
Totally.
And also I think it just like I mean, maybe it's hammering the metaphor home too hard, but just like the name Hereditary and like what this kid has inherited literally from this fucked up family that he's has, you know, like I like it.
No, it's and you know, he becomes really well in some ways the main character after the him and Toni Collette, I guess, is kind of like split 50-50. And being a teenager and, you know, that's the time when a lot of these issues sort of come out to the forefront if you have a history of mental illness and stuff. Or at least it gets enhanced by being a teenager and hormonal. And so it's, it is like, he's gone through the process of this of being a teenager and having an illness of some kind, and now it's like full born, you know, welcome to the family sort of thing at the end.
That's a good reading. I like it. See, I don't know, just talking about it with you, John, is like making me like it more and more.
Same. Like you started off, like I respect the shit out of it. I it's exactly the sort of horror that you and me love and talk about.
100%.
A lot like The Witch a couple of years ago. It's got it's so unsettling, but it's got so much depth to it as well. And in particular, both of those movies are kind of about families turning on each other.
Yeah, like imploding. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, in both films, there's like the figurative demons becoming literal at the end. Because they are horror movies as well, and I love that.
That's a very good point, and for some reason this worked a bit better for me than The Witch did, but you're right, like The Witch does the same thing, like that, I mean, I guess spoilers for The Witch, if you haven't seen it, but stop listening now, but like it just really leans into that concept of it being about a witch, and the devil is like given a body and a voice at the end of that film and things. That's very true. So I agree, like I'm like so very close to saying I love this film. I think I want to watch it once more. I might try and see it at the cinema if I can work up the courage to sit through that first half, because whoo, boy howdy is it a tough
set. Very tough.
But I think it's worth it. Really, really great, almost amazing, I would say.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, if you take into account that it's the director Ari Aster's first feature.
Oh, incredible.
It's such an amazing debut, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Exactly. Completely agree.